Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Ayin Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis on the first wide line. Yesterday, the Gemara, in trying to find a source, how we know that rechitza, washing, sicha, anointing on Yom Kippur are considered inui, the Gemara quoted a pasuk in Daniel. The pasuk says, "V'yoyim alai." Al tira Daniel, don't be concerned, Daniel. Ki miyoyim harishin shensate eslipcha v'hoven ulas hanois lifnei lekecha nishma d'vrecha, for when you started being an inui and trying to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu listen to your tefillah, they have been heard. And the pasuk concluded, v'ani bosi b'dvarecha. Ask the Mar, my v'ani bosi b'dvarecha. What's the definition of v'ani bosi b'dvarecha? It says, Mahayim d'ksiv. There's a pasuk in Yecheskel that says, "V'shivim ish mezikne beis Yisrael, 70 of the elders of Klal Yisrael, v'yozniyahu ben Shofan oimed b'toichem." Yozniyahu ben Shofan was amongst them. Oimed l'fneihem, was standing. V'ish mektartoi miyadoi. Each one was holding ketores in his hand. V'asar anan haketores oila, and smoke from the ketores went up. V'yishlach. It says another pasuk, "Ksiv v'yishlach tav nesiad." A hand came out, "V'kocheni betzitzis roshi," grabbed me by my hair, "V'tisi oisi ruach," a wind carried me, "Bein ha'aretz ben ha'shemayim," between earth and heaven, "V'tavi oisi Yerushalayim b'maris alakim," in a vision I was delivered to Yerushalayim, "Al pesach shar ha'pnoimis ha'poinet tzfoina," to the gate on the north side, "Ashasham Moishav Semel Kinamakana," where there was a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to take revenge in Klal Yisrael. "V'yavaisi," and I was delivered, "Al Chatzar Beis Hashem Hapnimis," to the inner entrance to the Chatzar Hashem, to the Beis HaMikdash, "V'ne Pesah Hechel Hashem," and at that entrance, which is Bein HaUlam and Bein HaMizbeach, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, "Ke'esr v'chamisha ish," 25 people, "Achureyem al Hechel Hashem," who had their backs turned to the opening of the Beis HaMikdash, "Upneim Kedma," so they were facing the east side, "Ve'im Mishtachvim Kedma L'Shemesh," they were bowing down to the east side, to the sun. Ask the Gemara, "Mimash Mishanem al Pneim Kedma," if we see that the Pasuk says that they were facing the east side, so it's obvious, "Eini yedei shachureim aleich Hashem," that their back was facing the Beis HaMikdash. "Elamat hamaloyim achureim aleich Hashem." Why does the pasuk have to specifically spell it out? Teaches us the Gemara, "Melamed shayaparin atzmon," they reveal themselves, "Vein matrizin klapimata," they were exhuming waste towards the Beis HaMikdash. So as Mefarshim explained, they did a double Aveira. Number one, they were worshipping the sun instead of worshipping Hashem. And moreover, they were degrading HaKadosh Baruch Hu by exposing themselves to the Beis HaMikdash. Amalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu Michal. Seeing this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Michal, and he says to Michal, "Sorcho u'moscha," your nation has sinned. Mefarshim asks, that we know that the Gemara says, "In Mazal Yisrael," that whereas all the nations of the world are under the dominion of a Tsar, of a Malach in Shemayim, Klal Yisrael is not under the dominion of any Malach. So how does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say to Michal that we're under his dominion, we're under the dominion of Hashem? So Mefarshim explained that when is Klal Yisrael exclusively under the dominion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when they're acting properly. As is obvious, they were not acting properly, as we just see. They were worshipping Avodah Zarah. So then we're under the dominion of Michal. Others say that this Nevuah that Yecheskel saw was when he was in Chutz Laretz. Klal Yisrael, only in Eretz Yisrael, are under the Hashpah of Hashem, not in Chutz Laretz. Amar Lefanav, so Michal responds to him, "Ribbono Shel Olam, Dayu L'Tovim Shebehem. Let the tzaddikim amongst Klal Yisrael save us." Amalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, I will destroy them and the tzaddikim. So Tosfos Yeshanim asks, what did the tzaddikim do wrong that they deserve to be destroyed? So Tosfos Yeshanim answers, since the tzaddikim did not do anything to prevent these people from worshipping Avodah Zarah, they're at fault also. I saw another pshat from a Sefer Ein HaBedoloyach. He says an interesting pshat. He says, we know that the Gemara says that if Klal Yisrael Chas V'Shalom does Averis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away tzaddikim to be a kapara. But he says, which tzaddikim does HaKadosh Baruch Hu take away? He only takes away tzaddikim who are tzaddikim, but they're not tzaddikim gemurim. So therefore, they deserve an oinish anyway. So their death is a kapara for Klal Yisrael. But if you have a tzaddik gomer, so he doesn't deserve to die. So even though Klal Yisrael unfortunately deserves a kapara, needs a kapara, can't take away the tzaddikim. That's the situation here. The tzaddikim in those times were tzaddikim gemurim, so they couldn't be taken away. That's why they were left with no choice but to kill everyone. I saw the Mashal explains, we started the Gemara, what were they doing? They were taking ketores, they were taking incense, and using it for the Avodah Zarah. What does incense represent? It represents hashpah, that the smell of the incense spreads out. What the taina, what the complaint of the tzaddikim was, that the influence that the Rishonim had was unfortunately greater than the influence that the tzaddikim had. Amalai ani sarif oisam v'tayv v'shebehen. Miyoyma miyad, immediately, v'yoyma el ish levush habadim. They called the person who was wearing the white garments, which as we will see, is Gavriel. V'yoyma ba albinas legigol. And as we learn this Gemara, the more we learn it, the less we understand. This is things, places in Shemayim that in the Maisa Merkava that we don't all know what they really even mean. But we'll do the best we can. V'yoyma ba al binas legilgal, come to this area which is called binas legilgal, al tachas lekruv, which is below the kruv, umalei chof necha gachle eish binas lekruvim, fill up your hand with coals from this area, v'zroik aleir, and throw those coals on the city. V'yovei le'aynai, and let me see this. Miyad, says the pasuk, immediately v'yishlach eska kruv es yoda mibeinais l'kruvim ala eish ashebeinais akruvim. The kruv puts his hand into this area to take out a coal, v'yitein, and he carries the coal al chofni lovo shabadim to Gavriel, who's wearing the white garments, v'yikach v'yetze, and he leaves. Omrav chana b'bechizda, omrav shimin chsida. Il malei lo nitztananu g'cholim miyodei shel kruv liyodei shel Gavriel. If not, that the fire was not taken directly by Gavriel, rather this kruv delivered the fire and gave it to Daniel. So during that time, there was an opportunity when you cast the coals from one person to the next, they so to speak cool off. And the Mefarshim say this also took 6 years. Had this not happened, if the Gavriel would have immediately taken the coals and Chas V'Shalom thrown them on Klal Yisrael, like the Shtayrim Yisraelim Shal Yisrael through the pallet, there would be nothing left from Klal Yisrael. The Ksiv, V'hinei ish levosh abadim Gavriel, who wears the white garments, asher keses masnov, mei shivdov v'leima, comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Osisi kasher tzivisoni, I've done as I was commanded. You told me to throw the coals on Klal Yisrael, I've done it. Omer Rav Yochanan, bois shoy tzil Gavriel mechor yapagid. Gavriel lost his exalted position in Shemayim, umachyua shitin pulsi denura. And he got 60 makas with a whip of fire. The Das HaKenim said, why 60? So he explains, we know that if Chas V'Shalom, somebody does an Avera, for which there's a Chiv Malkus, you get 39 Malkus. What's the number 39? Since a person becomes Bar Mitzvah when he's 13 years old, 3 times 13 equals 39. But in Shemayim, they don't judge a person for when he's 13 years old. They judge him for when he's 20 years old. So 3 times 20 equals 60. That's the 60 pulse in the neuron. Amalai, and they told him, Eloi Avdus, Loi Avdus, had you not done what you were commanded, you wouldn't done. Nobody would have any be upset with you. But if you were going to carry out what a Kodesh Baruch Hu told you, why did you do as you were commanded? You were commanded that you should go and you should take the coals and throw them at Klal Yisrael. What did you do? You asked the kruv to bring you the coals. So that's why you're getting Malkus. So the Tosfos Yom Kippurim asks, this Gemara is difficult to understand. The Gemara is saying, if you hadn't done what you were told, it'd be fine. It's only because you didn't do it the way we told you that we're upset. Isn't it worse if he doesn't do it at all than if he deviates? So Tosfos Yom Kippurim, again, as much as we can understand what the Gemara is saying, explains that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Gavriel to take the coals and throw them at Klal Yisrael, he knew that that was a commandment that Gavriel can never fulfill. Because that area is so hot that Gavriel can't take coals from that area. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him was, had you thought into what I said, you would have realized I never meant it. I never meant that you should fulfill it, because it's impossible to fulfill. But if you really didn't think, and you thought that it is doable, then you should have done it yourself. Doing it, not doing it the right way, is worse. Void. And another complaint that Shemayim had on Gavriel, the Avdus, that you did do it, and now you came and reported it to me. Leslech, don't you know the halacha? Eima shima kakala, that somebody should not be the one to come carry bad news. And this is a very important halacha. The Sefer Chassidim discusses this, and it's relevant to halacha l'maisa. A person should not be the bearer of bad news unless there's a purpose. We find in the Torah, V'yova ha-polit, the polit came v'yagid l'Avram, to tell Avram that Lot was captured. We find v'yugat l'Yosef, that Yosef was told that his father was ill. Why? Because those were situations where there was even though it was bad news, there was a real purpose. But if there is no purpose to give over bad news, one should not be a bad news. And interesting, the halacha is, even if someone lost a relative, and it's not a child that could attend the levaya, under many circumstances, the halacha is that one doesn't repeat that news to the avil, that he lost a relative, that he has to sit shiva or be in avelis. In fact, I saw an interesting shaila. Let's say someone knows that someone's in avelis, but he wasn't told that he lost a relative. And I'm making a wedding. So if I make a wedding, and this person, I certainly would invite to the wedding. But if I invite him to the wedding, he's going to come, because he doesn't know he's in avelis, but he's not going to attend the wedding, he's in avelis. Or let's say a situation of a husband and a wife, that when someone's doing the shiva, they're not allowed to have relations. So the husband knows that the wife is supposed to be sitting shiva, but she wasn't told. Or vice versa. And they have relations. So how could it be mutter? So the Poskim explain that when the Gemara here says, a mashivan al kalkola is a halacha, that there is no chiv avelis. Better than to be the bearer of bad news, don't tell him, and he has no chiv avelis, and he's allowed to go to a wedding, and he's allowed to have relations, etc. Again, every circumstance has to be reviewed independently. The Chazon Ish uses this Gemara, this concept of Eimashim HaKalkola, for interesting thing. He says that if someone is mentioned a shidduch, and he's not interested in the shidduch, he should never say no. He should say, not now, he should try to avoid, but to say explicitly, I'm not interested in the shidduch, is in the category of Eima Shivan al-Kalkala. Says the Gemara further, Isla Davli, so they brought Duviel, who was the Sora de Parsoi, who was the Malach of the Greeks, or the Parsoi means Persians. Now, Duviel is called that name, because the Gemara says in the Masechta Avodah Zarah about them that they look like dove. They look like bears. They have a lot of hair and they can't sit still. V'kmur b'charike, and they put him in the position of Gavriel, v'shimesh esrim v'echajoyim. And he had dominion for 21 days. Farshim say, what are the 21 days? They refer to the 3 weeks from Shavuos B'Tammuz to Tisha B'Av. Hainu d'ksiv, v'sar malchit pras oymer l'negdi, Esrim ve'echa, joining 21 days. V'nimchal echra sarm harishoinim, bol azreini. Michal, one of the original malachim, comes to help me. V'ninisati sham etzam malchi pras. And I was left there watching the malchi pras. Yovle esrim v'chad malchi. In those days that he was in control, they gave him 22 countries that he should rule over, or pasig the mashik. And they gave him the ability that he should have control over the seaport from where pearls are extracted from the ocean. So now he's trying to take revenge at Klal Yisrael. He says, write that Klal Yisrael should have to pay a lot of taxes. They wrote him. Write that Rabbanim should have to pay taxes, because until then, Rabbanim were exempt from paying tax. As they were about to seal this ruling about the taxes, Omid Gavriel Machariah Parget. Gavriel got up. Omid Shovlechem. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Shovlechem Mashkime Kum, Machriah Sheves, Oichle Lechem Hatzovim. Is it now worth it that people go to sleep late, don't have good bread? Kain Yitain Leidav Shena. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give a schar to the people that do learn Torah. So like the Mefarshim explained, Rashi explains, Gavriel was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, although, unfortunately, as we learned at the beginning of the Amid, Klal Yisrael were doing Averis, but look at Klal Yisrael. There are people in Klal Yisrael that stay up late to learn Torah. There are people in Klal Yisrael that get up early to learn Torah. Compare, the Mefarshim take it a step further, compare them to the Goyim. Compare them to the Goyim. Aren't we so much better? Why are you giving them this control? There's a beautiful vort from the Noam Elimelech. The Noam Elimelech says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu approaches Hosheya HaNovi. And he tells Hosheya HaNovi, Bonecha Chatu, Klal Yisrael is doing sins. So what does Hosheya respond? Chofem be'uma acheres. Take a different nation. So says the Noam Elimelech, that's the job of a Novi. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that about Klal Yisrael, isn't it his job to try to be Melamed Tzchus on Klal Yisrael? Isn't it his job to say how great we are? His job says, okay, take another nation. Says the Noam HaMelech, what the Navi meant to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, Chilfen Bu'umachers. Let's look at a different nation. Yes, maybe Klal Yisrael does Averis, but look at Klal Yisrael versus anyone else. Show us another nation that people come to learn every day, that people do the Tzedakah that Klal Yisrael does. Chilfen Bu'umachers. And that's what he was saying. Look at Klal Yisrael, how they're willing to be mice and nefesh for learning. And the Gemara goes further. My kain yitain liyididav shena. What is the pasuk referring to? Om Rabbi Yitzchak elin shesem shal tamid chachamim. Not only the tamid chachamim, it refers to their wives. Shel menagdoi shina ba'olam hazeh. That don't go to sleep. Their husbands come home late from learning, and they stay up waiting for them. Or their husbands get up early in the morning, and they get up with them, and therefore v'zoiches la'olam haba, and that's how they get olam haba. So Mefarshim asks, why are we saying that the pasuk is talking about the wives? Maybe the pasuk is talking about the husbands. So one pshat is that the husbands get schar is the same as the goyim. Goyim go to their jobs and they earn, and the talmid chacham goes to learn and he earns. The wives are the extra. But I saw a beautiful word, beautiful verse from the Ben Yoyada. He says the pasuk uses the words "kain yitain liyididav shena." The pasuk says "yitain liyididav shena." What's the kain? Kain means a base, like we see kier of a kanoi. What does a kanoi mean? The base. Kain. Who is the base of the family? Who is the foundation of the family? The nashim, the wives. But it did. But this argument didn't work. Amofonov. So Gavriel goes further. Rabbi Shlomo, if you call Chachmei Umas Oyel Bekaf Meznayim, we put all of the Goyim's leaders on a scale. The Daniel Ish Chamudus Bekaf Shneim, we put Daniel on the other side of the scale. Lo Nimtza Machrius Kulam, isn't he more than all of them? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mi Uzeh Shemalam Tzchus Abonai? Who's this wonderful person, this wonderful Malach that's trying to say good on Klal Yisrael? Amofonov, Rabbi Shlomo. Gavriel, it's Gavriel. Omaloi Yavoi. Now he should come back to his position. Nama v'nibasa b'dvarecha, I came back. Explains this Yismach Moshe. The relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the relationship between a father and a son. When someone has a son or a grandson, and somebody comes over to him in shul or wherever and says, you know, a nice thing about his child, a nice thing about a grandchild, doesn't that person feel so good? When someone comes over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says something good, nice, about Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels so good, because that's what we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're his children. And in fact, I saw from Yitzchak Zilberstein that he paskins that in looking for about tefillah, for the Yom and the Roim, one should look for a person who has this midah, who has this characteristics, that he always speaks good about Klal Yisrael, because that's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu enjoys so much. Amar Lael. So they said to Gavriel, Lael, he should come back to his position. Ailu, and they brought him there. Oscar Ashkechla Davriel, the Nokad Lael Gati, the Yodei. Davriel was holding this decree in his hand about the taxes. Baal Lemir Mimine. So Gavriel wanted to grab it away from him. Bola. So he immediately swallowed it. Ikadamri michtav havaksiva, that the decree had been written, however michtam laichsima, it was never sealed. Ikadamri af michtam namichsima, it was indeed sealed. However, kedabalei machaklemenei, as he swallowed it, as best as we understand this, the seal got erased. Hainu, and that's the reason, the v'malchus t'pras, ikadiyov karga, vikadiloyov karga. There's some Jews that pay taxes, some Jews that don't pay taxes, others say some rabbanim pay taxes, some rabbanim don't have to pay tax. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, v'ani yoitz v'hine sa yovim boy, oy v'avoy v'lekat da'ashkpei. So Rashi explains that it was that Gavriel started crying to Kadosh Baruch Hu that Yovan should not have the ability to rule over Klal Yisrael. And others say that it was Yovan crying that he lost, that Paras lost his ruling, his ability to rule over Klal Yisrael. So yesterday, as we said at the beginning of the shiur, the Gemara was looking for a source that Rechitza is considered an Inui, and therefore is Asur on Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara V'Bayisayim, another source to teach us the Rechitza D'Ikri Inui Minolan, Mihocha. The Ksib, because the Pasuk says, Ulev Yasa HaKoyin, Tav Yasa HaKoyin, Oma HaMelech, Shloime HaMelech speaks to Tav Yasa, and he says to him, Anosis Leich, go to Anosis Al Sotcha, to your field. Says Shloime HaMelech to him, Ki Ish Mavis Ata, really you're deserving death. Why is he deserving death? Because Dovra HaMelech had named Shloime HaMelech to be his successor. Adonio did not accept that decree and was rebelling. Avyasa went with Adonio. So Shlomo HaMelech says, you really deserve death. However, I won't kill you today. You carried the Aron of Hashem in front of my father David when he ran away from Avshalom. You were together in the Inui with David. What does it say about David? The people were hungry, tired, and thirsty. B'midbar, when they were running away from Avshalom. Rav means milachim. They were hungry. They didn't have bread. Tzomei, they were thirsty. They didn't have mayim. Ayif m'may. What does ayif mean? Lav merchitza, that they couldn't wash themselves. Says the Gemara, who says that ayif means they couldn't wash themselves? Maybe it means v'dimam nilas asandal, they couldn't wear shoes. Ela amar Rav Yitzchak mihocha. The Pasuk says, Maim Karim al Nefesh Ayefa, a Pasuk in Mishlei. So you see that Ayef refers to water. Ask the Gemara Dilma Mishtiya. Yes, it refers to water, but who says water for washing? Maybe it means water for drinking. Says the Gemara, Miksiv bin Nefesh Ayefa. If it meant water for drinking, it should say water that enters the body. It says, Al Nefesh Ayefa. Water on the body. Which water is on the body? Water from washing. So we see the rechitza is an inu. Continues the Gemara. Vanilas asanda manolan. How do we know they're not putting on shoes as an inu? The ksiv. The pasuk says again by David. V'David ol b'malus hazaisim oile ubaicha. He's going up. V'roish shalai chafui. His head was uncovered. V'hoilech yachaf. Yachef imai. What does Yachef mean? Lava minas asandal, that he wasn't wearing shoes. Says the Gemara, who says it means that he wasn't wearing shoes? V'dilma misushi miratka. Maybe he didn't have a horse and a whip, which is the way a king normally travels, and that's what the inui is. But we don't have a proof that inui is includes not wearing shoes. El amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak mehacha. The pasuk says by Yeshaya that a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Yeshaya, lech upesachta sak me'al masnecha, open up the sack, v'nalcha talchlos ma'al reglecha, take off your shoes. V'ksiv yas kein, and it says Yeshaya did that, holach orim v'yachav. Yachav m'may, what does Yachav mean? La menilas a sandal, that he wasn't wearing shoes. Because as Rashi explains, it can't mean that he wasn't riding on a horse, like he wanted to say by David, because David was a king who was actually accustomed to ride on a horse. Yeshaya wasn't so accustomed to ride on a horse that we say taking off from the horse is inui. Says the Gemara, who says that inui means taking off the shoes? Maybe inui means wearing torn shoes. I'll prove to you that's what it means, because the pasuk says he should go orim. Does orim mean orim mamish, that he should be actually undressed? Of course not. El means begadim tloim, begadim beluim, torn clothing. Hachinami, it doesn't mean he shouldn't go with shoes. It should mean he should go b'minolayim hametloim, torn shoes. Alam Rav Nachman Yitzchak mehacha. The pasuk says in Yirmiyah, meni raglech miyachef v'groin chametzmeya, meni atzmecha menachet. The pasuk tells us, avoid doing a virus, kadesh layav raglech leday yachef, in order that your feet should not be left barefoot. Meni l'shoyinch medvar metalim, and hold back from saying dvar metalim. Kadesh layav groin chleday smeya, that you shouldn't come to thirst. So we see Yachav means without shoes, and David, where the pasuk says went Yachav and was be inui, meant without shoes. So we see going without shoes is an inui. The last thing that was mentioned as an inui was Tashra Shemitah. You know, I have relations. Tashra Shemitah, the ikri inui minolon, the ksiv. It says the lovin tells Yaakov inu. In Tanis benoisai, if you put my daughters in inui, from tikach noshim, and if you, abenoisai, if you'll take more wives. Im tana means mitashmish, that don't withhold tashmish from them. From tikach mitzaros, don't take extra wives. Says the Gemara, who says that that's the way to explain the pasuk? Perhaps the way to explain the pasuk is ve'emi idi ve'idi mitzaris, that the pasuk means don't take extra wives. Answers the Gemara, miksiv, and the pasuk just using two words to say the same thing. Answers the Gemara, miksiv im tikach. If the pasuk says im tikach im tana, so we could say the pasuk is repeating the same thing twice. It says ve'im tikach siv, so it means Tan is one, and Tikach is another. So Tana must mean, don't withhold relations. Ask the Gemara, Ve'emi idi v'idi mitzaros. Maybe still I'll say that both of them are referring that he shouldn't take extra wives. And what does it mean? Why is he saying two separate things? Chal l'tzaros today. One is he was saying that Bila and Zilpa, who were in the status of Pilekshim, she should not elevate them to the status of wives. And then he was saying, also don't take women who you were never married to as wives. And what's the advantage of explaining the pasuk that way? So then we'll say, imtana means don't take the palakshim as wives, and imtikach means don't take other people as wives. Answer the Gemara, if that's shot in the pasuk, imtikach v'imtana, it shouldn't have said it, miksiv imtikach v'imtana, it should have said first, tikach, don't take wives who you have no relationship with. And then it should have said, don't make your pilakshim into wives. Because what is a lot worse? Isn't it worse to take someone who has no relationship currently and make him a wife, make them a wife? Isn't that worse than taking a wife, somebody who's a pelegish, and just elevating them? So if Lavan was coming to tell Yaakov that, he should have said first about not taking strangers. What did he say? Imtana v'imtikachsiv. So must be that Tana doesn't refer to taking Bila and Zilpa and making them into wives. Tana means withholding tashmish. Ask the Gemara, Amalei, about Rapapa Labaya. So Rapapa asks Abaya, I'll show you that inui doesn't mean withholding tashmish. I'll show you that inui means having tashmish. Hatashmish gufa ikri inui. I'll prove to you that inui means having tashmish. Diksiv, v'yishkav oisa v'yaneho. It says that when Shechem captured Dina, he laid with her v'yaneho. So v'yaneho means that he had tashmish with her. So how can you say v'yaneho means that he didn't have tashmish? Oh, so some of us want to ask, maybe it means that for her, the tashmish was an inui, and for her, having tashmish is an inui, or not for him. So the Mepharshim say, the inui has to be the same for men and women, because the halachas for Yom Kippur are equal to men and women. Amalei, so the way Rashi explains the Gemara, hasam she'inam ebiyas acheres. What happened was, Shechem started having relations with Dina, and then he held himself back. And Dina wanted to have more relations. She had become accustomed to it. So inui means holding back the tashmish. Tana bonim. Says the Braisa. Also lechitz mixes gufay kikol gufay. When we say that one is not allowed to wash his body, he's not allowed to wash even part of his body. But if he's dirty, he's allowed to wash and not be concerned. The Shamashion Balacha picks up on the terminology of Reichitz Kedak Venechoshes. He should have said Reichitz, he's allowed to wash. So he says what the Gemara means to say is, let's say a person's washing because he has dirt. That the Gemara here says he's allowed to wash. So does he have to be careful that he should only be allowed to wash the spot that gets dirty? Or Reichitz Kedak, wash where you're washing, even though the water may end up going on areas that are not, that you're not allowed to wash, and a Choshes, don't worry about it. Similarly, also Lachsuch, mixes gufay could call gufay. You're not allowed to anoint part of your body, even like your whole body. But if the person is ill or he has something on his head, soch kedakoi v'enchashish, he could anoint himself. So the Rishonim point out, in looking at the Gemara, we see there's a very big difference between rechitza and sicha. But rechitza, the Gemara says, you're allowed to wash yourself if you get dirty. For sicha, the Gemara says, you're only allowed to wash yourself if you're sick. So it's much harder to be makel on sicha than rechitza. There's a shaila. This that was saying the rechitza is mutter when someone is dirty. Let's say somebody becomes sweaty. Yeah? Is he allowed to wash himself? Yesh oisrim v'yesh matirim. Most priests can say that unless it's a very serious situation, he should not wash himself under those circumstances. We've discussed there's a machlokes rishonim if the inuyim besides achil v'shtiya are also midaraisa or also midarabonim. We said many rishonim hold that they're also midarabonim. So if they're also midarabonim, we could understand Chazal were the ones that told us that rechitza is an inuy, but they said if you're washing to take off dirt, it's not an inuy. Sichu is an inuy, but if you're washing because you're a chayla, it's not a problem. But according to the Rambam, as Tosafos Rishonim, that the rechitza and sicha are also midaraisa. So how could the Rabbanan say, well, it's not always asr. It's only asr if you're dirty, you're allowed to wash. Or if you have chatot, then you're allowed to shmir yourself. So they answer, because we're not talking that the person washed his whole body. He only washed part of his body. When does the Rambam hold that rechitza is asr midaraisa? Only the person's washing his entire body. Only the person's being soch his entire body. Here he's not being soch his entire body. He's only being soch one part. That the Rambam will agree is only the Rabbanim. Ask the Mefarshim, but we learned a sugi by chatzi shir. Chatzi shir is asr midaraisa. So if the Rambam holds that washing the whole body is asr midaraisa, so even washing part of the body would be a chatzi shir and should be asr midaraisa. So some of Farshim say that the concept of chatzi shir is only said regarding achila, eating. Here we're not talking about eating. Others say that chatzi shir osman atayra doesn't contradict the ability of the Rabbanan to define what the Rabbanan Torah said. And the Rabbanan said that when the Torah said that rechitza is osur on Yom Kippur, the Torah meant only the entire body. And here, even if Bekala Torah Kula, there is a concept of Chatzi Shir, it doesn't apply to here, and that's why the Rambam would agree to this thing. And that's why the halacha is that one should not wash himself on Yom Kippur. Continues the Gemara. Tana de Be'i Menashe. Rav Shimon Gamaliel Oimer, Medicha isha yoda achas b'mayim. A woman could wash one hand. V'noisnes pas latinak and give food to the child. V'enichasheshes. She has nothing to be concerned about. Amar lo al shamay azokin. Says the Gemara, they said regarding Shammai. Shlai rotz lahachal b'yoda achas. He didn't want to give his children teeth with one hand. V'gazra lo lahachal b'shtay yadayim. And they forced him to wash both hands. My tama amar b'ayim mishim shifsa. Could this ruach which is called shifsa. So way Rashi explains the Gemara is that shifsa is the ruach that's on a person's hands if he doesn't wash negev asur. These people on Yom Kippur did not wash negev asur because they weren't going to touch food. And now they were going to give food to the children, so you're not allowed to touch food without washing negev asur. The Pesukim discuss the Jew certainly, but maybe even a goy who didn't wash his hand is not allowed to wash, is not allowed to give food. Why is Yom Kippur different than Pesach? That the halacha is on Pesach, you're not allowed to touch food when you eat, you're not allowed to touch chametz, and Yom Kippur, we are allowed to touch food. The answer is very simple. On Pesach, we're eating. So once, if we're eating, we may come to, if we touch chametz, we may chas v'shalom come to eat the chametz. On Yom Kippur, we're not eating at all. So that's why, if we're not eating at all, we could touch food to give it to a child. And that's actually what happened with Shammai. Shammai was reluctant to touch food, and Chazal said, wash your hands and give the children teeth. But Taisvis has a different approach to this Gemara. Taisvis says, negev asur, everybody is supposed to wash every day, including Yom Kippur, even if he's not feeding children. And that's takad halacha. That Yom Kippur we wash negev asur, we wash till the knuckles, but we wash negev asur. Shifsa, explains Taisvis, was a certain ruach that existed in those days, that if somebody touched food, even if they washed negev asur in the morning, if somebody touched food before he fed it to a child without washing his hands first, he could be affected with shifsa. And the discussion in the Gemara is that for that also one may wash his hands on Yom Kippur. However, Taisa says that this ruach shifsa no longer exists between us. In fact, there's a famous memra that the Gross said. There's a famous story. There was the Ger Tzadik of Vilna, the Count of Potocki, who had become a Ger, and then he was burnt at the stake because he became the Ger. That the Vilna Gaon said that many ruchos, that the Gemara ruach satuma, that the Gemara refers to when he was burnt, al kiddush Hashem, many of those ruchos no longer exist in the world. The Yam Shleim also says that many of the ruchos that existed no longer exist in our times. But as we said, therefore, on Yom Kippur, everybody should wash negev asur. And if somebody goes to the bathroom, he also should wash his hands like the halacha requires till the knuckles. There's a shaila, what's the halacha when kohanim go to duchen on Yom Kippur? They have to wash their hands. There the Mishnah Berurah says he should wash his whole hand. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanim. Ha'horech l'agvah p'nei aviv p'nei rabbi. If somebody goes to greet his father or his rebbe, or p'nei misha gol memenu, or somebody who's greater than him, oivat tzavar b'mayim, he could go up to his neck in water, and he has nothing to be concerned about. So Mefarshim ask, fine. The Gemara is saying that this is not called rechitza on Yom Kippur, but there are a number of other yisurim. One yisur is schita. Why are we concerned that he's going to wring out his clothing, which is asur? So they say, as the Gemara will say soon, he doesn't wear his clothing in the regular fashion, so that prevents us from being concerned about schita. Or the tzairich mitzvah, there is no concern of schita. Then there's another question that Mefarshim asked. The halacha is shiryasai zu kivusai, that if you soak something, that's called washing it. So when the person walks through the water, he's soaking it. So why is that not considered washing? So Mefarshim say a number of answers. First of all, that doesn't apply to all materials. For example, leather, we don't say soaking is washing. Another answer is that it's only possible to wash something that's dirty. If he's wearing clean clothing, we don't have to worry about washing it. And another teretz that I saw is, washing is possible when the person is doing it in a way of washing. In other words, when you wash some clothing, you let him soak. Here he's walking through a lake. That's not the way washing is done, and that's why it's not under the category of kippus. Ibeilu. So we said that the Talmud is allowed to go to his Rebbe. Ask the Gemara, Rav Eitz Talmud Mai. What about a Rebbe going to the Talmud? Toshma, Dom Rav Yitzchak Bar Bachana, Anei Chazita Laziri, I saw Ziri, Dozu Lagabra Rav Chir Bar Ashi Talmidei. He went to greet Rav Ashi's Talmud. Ravashi says, "Hahu Rav Chibar Ashi, who the Ozel Gab the Zira Rabbi." It wasn't a Rebbe going to the Talmud; it was a Talmud going to the Rebbe, because so we don't have a proof to the Shaila. So Mefarshim asked the obvious question. The Gemara says, "Hahulach Lahagul Pnei Avoy." Aviv Pnei Rabbi, he's going to greet his Rebbe. It doesn't say that he's going to greet his Talmud. So why would we think that greeting a Talmud is mutter? So they answer, maybe the Gemara really meant that greeting a Talmud is mutter. However, why do we choose to speak about the case about a Talmud to the Rebbe? Because the normal situation is that a Talmud goes to the Rebbe, not a Rebbe to the Talmud. But indeed, perhaps a Rebbe to the Talmud is also mutter. Another Tarot says so is like this. When a Talmud goes to meet his Rebbe, he's supposed to wash himself. He's supposed to prepare himself. So we're more concerned when a Talmud goes to the Rebbe that he may wash himself, and you know, I'll do that on Yom Kippur. So that's why the Gemara chose to speak about a Talmud to the Rebbe. There could be a Rebbe to the Talmud where he's not going to prepare himself that much. It's certainly mutter. The Mefarshim also pick up, here we have some sort of a machlokes. What was the relationship here? Was it a Talmud to a Rebbe or Rebbe to a Talmud? How could we have a machlokes what it was? So they explain that even if we'll say that a Rebbe is allowed to go to the Talmud, it's only if the Talmud went to the Rebbe first. And that was the Shaila, did the Talmud first go to the Rebbe, and therefore the Rebbe is allowed to go back, or the Talmud not go, and in those circumstances the Rebbe is certainly not allowed to go back. Continues the Gemara. Rav Shaila Levnei Avi Yamina, Lameva B'mayim, L'Naturi Peri. He allowed them to walk through the river, to the water, to go watch their fruit on Yom Kippur. I'll bring you a brice that corroborates what you say, because it says in the brice, Shomrei Priyos, Oivim Atzavarim B'mayim, the latter walk in the water up in the neck, up to the neck in water, Vein Chashishim. However, the Mefarshim say that although the latter walk up to the neck in water, they're not allowed to float, they're not allowed to go on a raft. Because on Shabbos you're not allowed to go on a raft, and therefore on Yom Kippur you're not allowed to go on a raft either. Rav Yosef Shalom Bnei Tarba, Lamemba Maya, he allowed these people to go in the water, Lameis Leperka, to go attend the Shir. However, Lameisel, to return from the Shir Lasharlu, he didn't permit them. If you don't let them go to the Shir, they won't want to go in the future because they know they can't get back. So that's why Ikad Amri, Shalom Lameisel, he allowed them to go, the Shalom Lameisel allowed them to come back. I understand why you allow him to go to hear a Shir Yom Kippur. The power of learning Torah Yom Kippur is so important for us. Why do you allow him to come back? So he answered, if I allow him to come back, then we'll continue coming, which we want. They were standing on the bank of Nahar Pras, on the side of Chatzdat. Rami and Papa Mehachtis, and Rami and Papa was sitting on the other side. Rami Kav Kola, so he raised his voice and he asked, "Ma lemevel lemais legabaychu? May I cross this water lemishel shmeitz in order to come here share?" Amar Yehuda, Rav Shmuel, Dami Tavayu, over. You're allowed to go through the water, but as we mentioned before, Ovach lo yotz yado mitachas pas chalukai. As long as you don't take your hand, they used to wear garments that look like our talasim. So you should be careful not to pick your hands up, because you may come to carry the garment. So wear the garment a little higher. Ikadami, Amalei Rav Shmuel ba Yehuda Tanina, we learned in the Braisa, Och over, Ovach lo yotz yado mitachas chipas chalukai, as long as he doesn't take out his hands from below his garment. Maskler of Yosef asked Rav Yosef, "Obechom kegavni shari, is it mutter to go this way even during the week?" V'ksiv, there's a pasuk in Yecheskel which we'll discuss more tomorrow. Mitzvah Shem, v'yimen elef ba'ama v'yavireni. He took me on this brook, the stream that came out of the base of Mikdash. I went through the water, meyafasim, water that reaches the ankles. V'kan shemutter lava out of sight. You let her walk up water that reaches the ankles. V'yimen elef v'avireini v'mayim. I took another 1,000 amos, and the water was made b'kayim, water that reached the knees. Mikan shemuta lava ad b'kayim. You let her walk in water that reaches the knees. V'yimen elef v'avireini v'mayim esnayim. Another 1,000 amos, the water reaches the hips. Mikan shemuta lava ad esnayim. You let her walk in water that reaches the hips. Mikan v'elech v'yimen elef I can't go through the river. So how is he allowed to go through the river on Yom Kippur? Even during the week, you're not allowed to go. It's a danger. Shani Nachal, the Redifi Maya. That Nachal was different because the water had a strong current, so it was dangerous to walk in it. Yachal Yavireni Besichui. One may think that you could swim in the water. Tamalaymer Kigo Mai Meisochu. Mai Meisucha Shiuta. Swimming. Shekoin Koin Lashiata Saicha. They call swimming Saicha. Yachal Yavireni Beburni Ketana. You could go through it with a small raft. Tamalaymer Ba'atelech Boy Any shayit. You can't travel it even with a small raft. Yochel Yavirein Rebuni Gedoyla. Perhaps you could pass it with a larger raft. Tamalomer Vitsi Adar La Yavirena. Even a large boat can't pass it. My Mashma, what does that mean? Kedmetagin Rav Yosef, like Rav Yosef explained, Leitezabai Besfinet Sidon, don't go in it on a small fisherman's boat. Ubzine Uburni Rabasai Leitezeno. Nor use a large boat to pass it. Omer of Yehuda Bapazi, Af Malach HaMovis Einloi Rishus Lava B'toichai. Even the Malach HaMovis can't go through this stream. Ksiv Hocho Batelech by Oni Shayit. Here it says that the Oni Shayit can't pass this river. Ksiv Hosom Meshayit Ba'oritz, that you're not allowed to, that the Malach HaMovis, the Yetzahara, is Shayit. So we see that the word Shayit applies to Malach HaMovis, and he can't go through this river, which is so powerful, which we will discuss more about in the next year. I'll be here tomorrow.